Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Carlisle. I'm John Easter, filling in for Bryson Hill today. And as always, we have the star of the show, Coach Don Carlisle, with us here this morning. Coach, how are you?
I'm well. Good morning, good people.
And, of course, last week, kind of a mixed bag for you as you played Friday night against the Carmel Greyhounds. And it was an entertaining game to watch. I don't know about from a coach's perspective, defensively, if it was maybe what you wanted, but certainly as a fan and as a broadcaster, a very entertaining game to watch until the very end when the Giants lose by 2 points. So talk a little bit about that Carmel game last Friday night.
Man, we just got to learn how to win. I think there was a play at the end of the second quarter, right before the half. We were down one. We had the ball. And we're trying to teach them, you know, you score the first point of the quarter, points of the quarter, and you get the last points of the quarter. If you do that for each quarter, then you steal 16 points in the game. So we're teaching them, trying to teach them, hey, we get the last, and then we turn it over. And instead of down one, now we down three. This is not a big deal, right? Halftime, lose the game by two. So it's things like that. And defensively, we have not gotten to the level. And if you ever come to practice and watch us, we'll work probably half of the practice on defense because I'm a defensive coach. That's what I believe in. So we just haven't had the effort and the buy-in that, from my perspective, to be in a position to be super successful. I mean, granted, we're not having a down year, but in my opinion, we're about five possessions away from being 14-0 as opposed to 10-4, so or 11-4. So we should be 15-0, in my opinion. I think there was about a couple possessions in the Fishers games. I think the final number was 8, but naturally they hit free throws when we had to foul them at the end. And that game was a little closer than what the final score was. Zionsville, we had a slow start, came back. Had a chance to win that one at the end. LC, same story. Slow start. No, we had a fast start, actually, in a terrible third quarter. And had a chance to win that one at the end. Carmel, same deal. Slow third. Slow finish to the second. Slow start to the third. And a good finish. So the games that we lost, we had the opportunity to win. And you can say that's coaching. I'll take it, right? Like, it's my job to make sure that the team is prepared and able to do the things that we need to do to be successful. But, you know, we just got to be better. But in retrospect and in hindsight, when I'm looking back at the games and looking at the film, we literally about five or six possessions away from being and sitting in the seat that Fishers is right now.
Yeah, Fishers undefeated, but they've kind of had to survive some tight games. And right the next night after you played them, Carmel pushed them right to the brink as well. And it's a little bit different Carmel team, too. You know, it's a team where, you know, usually that halftime score that we had is the final score when the Giants and the Greyhounds get together. But kind of looking at Carmel now, the last five games in this series have all been decided by 3 points or less, which is really wild. And Carmel's won four of them. Mm-hmm. In fact, Ben Davis is not. I just saw the great Jim Pick, who does all the Marion County research. He pointed out that Ben Davis has not defeated Carmel at home since 2006, which I had to go back and look. I mean, really, Carmel's kind of had the Giants' number lately. What is it kind of about the program that they have built that kind of has given them kind of the advantage maybe over the Giants over time and different coaches and things like that? What are they? I mean, and it's just Carmel. I mean,
I think it's style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's, we want to get up and down. They want to force you into a possession game. And honestly, man, I think it's, and I talked to the kids about this, so this is not something I'm just saying here. We have more talent, right? So those kids are listening explicitly to the coach to do the things that he's trying to get them to do. our kids have more talent, so they believe they can do it with their talent. If we could flip it and we can still listen and have that same buy-in that those kids with less talent have, then the talent will win out. That ultimately leads to discipline. So, like, I believe that we have to do a better job starting early, not just in athletics, but at home, to enforcing and reinforcing discipline and making sure that our kids are listening and doing the things that they need to do for all of us to be successful, not just them. So, you know, that's a story for a different for a different conversation. But at the end of the day, I do believe that's what it is. Teams like Carmel, teams like even Fishers for that matter. But you also got to look at it like this. Those guys are great coaches, no doubt. But Carmel's a totally different team with Cash Daniels, who transferred in. We played them this summer, total different team with him because they didn't really have a point guard. Fishers would have been down this year, right? And they get two 6'8", 6'9", transfers that are all-star caliber players. Pike gets an influx of talent and get really big in a hurry with an influx of talent with transfers. That's, you know, good coaches, no doubt, but talent helps.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Carmel's great. I love Ryan. He's one of my favorite coaches over there. I had the opportunity to help coach him when I was in, I was an undergrad coach at IUPUI when he played there. But without that, right, like, they don't become who they are. And, you know, it's just what it is. I don't make an excuse for myself. We still right there with every team in the state, and we usually do it. Like, we got a transfer kid, a couple transfer kids, but those guys get that influx of talent or in height. You know, really, in Carmel's case, it was speed and ball handling. In everyone else's case, has been bigs, and it's pushed them over the hump. Well, we got to try to manufacture it.
Well, Coach, you kind of hit on something there with the transfer situation in Indiana high school basketball, and I know probably Bryson has asked you about this before, but, you know, we're kind of halfway through, maybe a little bit over halfway through the season now. What impact have you seen, if any, of the transfer portal in Indiana high school basketball?
I think you see it all the top. Outside of probably Noblesville, I think Crown Point had, you know, those kids were there. Majority of all the top teams, Lawrence North, they lost. And then they lost and they added.
Right.
But like Kai McGrew was at Lawrence North and now he's at Fishers. Majority of the top teams or the teams that are considered the top teams got transfers. So, you know,
yeah.
There's a huge impact to it. People might say, well, why don't you get transfers? Naturally, if someone wants to come and they live around here and it makes sense, then we wouldn't say no. But at the same time, like, there's a certain standard, and a lot of people don't want to do what's necessary to be here. I think that's the biggest issue for us. And, you know, at some point, you know what I mean? Like, who knows what happens with Ben Davis and transfers coming in, but we've had a lot of success doing it with kids that came up through our system, and hopefully it continues to be to trend in the right direction.
And a system that has certainly done quite well with JV and freshmen as well, continuing to have good years. Kind of turning into Saturday, a little bit different kind of game for you, a game that was added to the schedule. The Addicts game moved to the end of the year, normally would have been this weekend, and you add a team that's really good in Class 2A, like Park Heritage, a team that has some really good players and an excellent 2A program, you know, for a school that has just recently been consolidated and built and come on the scene. So you look at Park Heritage, you go all the way up to Huntington to play them at the Huntington University Fieldhouse up there. So what was that experience like going up there and taking on Park Heritage?
It was good, man. Actually, I've never been able – I know that Cam Maul, he went to Huntington, but we never got up to see games. And it was good for the kids, especially some of these guys, especially in that league. Marion is in that league. It's a really, really good league, the Crossroads. Did get to see their game they played before we played. And they played Grace.
Good game, too. Yeah.
They played Grace, who was number one in the country, undefeated. Huntington ended up getting the win, but we was able to see some really, really good basketball and to see a level. Some kids, you know, will turn their nose up to a school that may be recruiting them because they feel like the level was low or I'm way better than this. But they was able to see a level, a really good level of basketball with some kids that we played against. Huntington had a kid from LN that played a few years ago, was really good, played for them. A kid from Tech that we played against a few years ago, he was on Huntington. And then a couple kids on Grace who he was able to play against Northwood in Hall of Fame Classic. And they won state in 2023 as well. Those guys were playing for Grace, and Grace was 21-0 and the number one team in the country. So it was a really, really good basketball. I think it was a good experience. We got up, 2 hours, a little over 2 hours, played the game. And I think it's a great experience, especially leading into like regional semi-state. You know, when you got to go take a trip, play. Going to a hotel, play another game. Even though we only had the one game, it was a great practice for that. So,
when you go up to Huntington, Park Heritage got out to a lead against you guys early, fight back. I think you had a 28-8 run towards the end of the second quarter and into the third quarter, and then you get to the fourth quarter, keep that lead, and they kind of hit a three-pointer there to cut it to 9, I think it was about a minute to go, and that's that's where it stayed. But how do you think the game went overall?
They hit 7 threes in the first half, so I think 4 or 5 in the first quarter. So, you know, they played slow. It was a contrast of styles, kind of similar to Carmel, but they play zone. So they tried to slow us down and decrease the possessions in the game, like I said, similar to like a Carmel style. Now Carmel plays a little faster now with Cash, but excuse me, they slowed the game down and they made shots, and then the second half they didn't make the same shots. So I think that we played not great but well enough to win, and it could have easily been a trap game that we, since we, you know, coming down off of a tough loss at home, playing an early game the next day, it could have easily been one that we gave away, but we found the way to win. And it's a tough team. Had a 6'9 kid, a 6'7, 6'8 kid, and a kid, the coach's son, he signed at Huntington, which is the reason why we played at Huntington. He's going there next year, but he's a really good player too. So they had 3 really good players on that team that's similar to teams that we could possibly face in the future.
Man, it was a pickup game, as we said. Because the Giants had some shortages on the schedule. So good to get a game where a team like Park Heritage is willing to play up. And I know they've also played Fishers and some of the other teams. I think they're thinking maybe about their tournament run when they're playing up.
For sure.
They're going to not probably see too many Ben Davises in the 2A tournament.
Man, they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah.
Especially in 2A. A lot of respect for the coach and what he does. He had a lot of great actions. And the team was fairly disciplined, so I know that he does a good job.
So this week, obviously, you kind of turn the page on last week, and I know as always you work week to week. This week you have the one game, but it's a huge one. Not only is it an arch rival in Pike, but Pike's a team that, kind of like Carmel, has had Ben Davis's number. The Giants have had Pike's number, and I know they feel pretty good about what they've got up there this year. So what's coming up on Thursday night against the Red Devils?
Big team, really athletic, really, really good in transition. So we're gonna have to switch. We're gonna have to flop a little bit. We don't want a really high possession game. We want to kind of slow them down a little bit. Really big, 6'11", 6'9", 6'9". And then the guard, you got a really, really good guard who has, you know, Big Ten offers and and then the point is really fast, and they get into you defensively, but they've also slowed down. They play a lot of zone and use their length, because one man to man, they so big that it's probably hard for them to keep guys in front. But man, I think they're a good team. I think they're super talented. But like you said, it's been a while for them. I think maybe 2019 or 2018-19, that year when I first came to Ben Davis, we lost to them at Pike, and we haven't lost since.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll have to play well. I respect them, but I do believe the Giants is going to come out on top in that game.
And certainly the big game with Pike, not that this isn't, but that could come in a few weeks in the sectional as well,
mm-hmm.
a sectional opponent for you. When you look at that perspective, is there anything that you look at from this game? Do you try things in this game that you might use later? Do you not try things in this game that you don't want to show them? What's that like when you know that you're probably going to play them again?
We're trying to win. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, whatever happens, then we'll look at the film. We'll try to figure out how we can be better or, you know, emulate whatever happened in this game. So, you know, I don't think I'll hold them back. I'll try to win the game. And then we play them, if we play them again in sectionals, then I'll try to win that one too. So
yeah, this sectional is loaded with you guys in Plainfield and Brownsburg, and Avon's getting better. And then you've got the Red Devils. So this sectional is not going to be easy out at Plainfield High School later on. So this week, however, is the thing. The first thing you got to do is play them now. So anything else, Coach, before we wrap up?
No, man, we just got to, you know, continue to build our standard to keep the main thing, and try to go 1-0 or 2-0 each week, finish the season strong, and get to playing our best basketball heading into March.
Yeah, absolutely. Got kind of the Mick run coming up here with 3 Mick games in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it's high time. Giants in control of the Mick right now, and you want to continue that run as well.
Yeah, I think we've won the Mick, 3 out of the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have it's squarely in our control right now. 2-0 right now in the Mick. We have Pike, then we have the Lawrences coming up the following week. We win all those games. We win the Mick. You know, we had a piece of the Mick last year coming up to that last game with LC and lose. And we ended up having a share of the Mick. But a share is still a win.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, prayerfully, we can do the same thing and continue to have success. Successes that we've had over the past few years. One of our team goals is to win the Mick. So that's the next on our list.
All right, Coach. We appreciate you and appreciate all you do for us. And good luck against Pike on Thursday.
Appreciate it.
That's going to wrap up Conversations with Carlisle.